Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. The following recording is of a khutbah I gave this Friday, the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, in which we discuss how can we continue building on what we've gained during the month of Ramadan, and what are we supposed to do now that the month of Ramadan is coming to an end. So give a listen to the khutbah, hopefully it's a source of benefit to you, and share it with family and friends. Before we move on to the khutbah, I wanted to borrow just a minute of your time. Alhamdulillah, we here at Qalam have continued our commitment of delivering beneficial programs and content to the community, whether it be in the form of the free podcast, the hundreds and hundreds of hours of free recordings that we deliver to people so that they can access it worldwide, or it be the intensives, the travel programs, the community programs, and also the Qalam Seminary, which produces leaders for our communities and for tomorrow. Alhamdulillah, this Ramadan we had a Launch Good campaign in which many of the people from around the world showed their generosity and alhamdulillah contributed to our campaign. As we approach the end of the month of Ramadan and the last couple of days of our campaign, I want to ask you to go to supportqalam.com and contribute whatever you can so that we can continue to do the work that we do. Partner with us in the endeavor of educating the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ and bringing all of humanity closer to God. So go to supportqalam.com, contribute whatever you can, share the link with family and friends, encourage them to contribute as well. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our efforts and all of our worship in this blessed, beautiful month of Ramadan. And now on to the khutbah. سمي سمات كبير الشأن جليل القدر الرفيع الذكر مطاع الأمر جلي البرهان فخيم الاسم غزيل علم وسيل حلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل عطاء مجيب الدعاء يعميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين ودعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما محمد إلا الرسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين. I'd like for all of us to go back over 1400 years ago to the most tragic event, the greatest tragedy that ever befell humanity in this Muslim ummah. And that was the day that the Prophet ﷺ departed from this world. The day the Prophet ﷺ left this world. That was the most tragic day in human history. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the day the Prophet ﷺ left this world, it felt like the world was plunged into darkness. The world lost its light on that day. And it was the most tragic thing we had ever experienced. We were heartbroken. We thought it was the end of the world. We didn't know if there was going to be a tomorrow. And the events of that day are so powerful for us to really understand and start to internalize how great and profound this tragedy was. The night before the Prophet ﷺ passed away, when he had made it clear that this was the end, the family of the Prophet ﷺ was gathered around him. His wives and his cousins and his uncles and everyone was gathered around him. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was sitting very close to him, she says that he was so overcome with fever that
He had a bowl of water sitting next to him, and he would repeatedly place his hand in the bowl of water and take water and put it on his face to cool himself off. And he had his eyes closed because it was burning his eyes. He had a very bad headache, and his eyes were burning, and so he had his eyes closed. And he couldn't speak. He didn't have the physical strength to speak. And he was lying down in bed, and we were gathered around him. And everyone was sad and distraught. And in that particular moment, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, almost on cue, he opened his eyes. And he started to look towards the door. And he would not break his gaze. He was just staring at the door. And she says that we realized that there must be someone there. And so we turned around and we saw that it was Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The only surviving child of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was looking at her and he would not break his gaze. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in a hadith of Sahih Muslim, she says, it was like the seas parted. It was like the seas parted. Everyone moved aside. And Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha walked in. And she says, remembering that moment, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not just stating the obvious, but it was obvious that she was the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She looked like him. She talked like him. She would move her hands and gesture, make gestures when she spoke, just like he did. She walked the way he did physically. If you saw her, it was like you were looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she walks in and she sits down next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she takes the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she starts to, she's sad, seeing the condition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says, "Wa karaba abatah, why does my father suffer so much?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her at that time, "La karaba ala abiki ba'd al-yawm. There will be no suffering upon your father after today." And he calls her close and he whispers something into her ear. And she starts to sob and cry profusely. And then he calls her close and he whispers something else into her ear and she smiles through her tears. And then she kisses the Prophet ﷺ's hand. He bids her farewell and she gets up and she leaves. And that was the last time she saw her father. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course he passed away the next morning. I waited obviously a few days until everyone kind of had a moment to deal with this. I eventually went to Fatima and I asked her that what is... I eventually went to Fatima and I asked her, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to you in that moment? And she says that when he called me close the first time, he said, "Fatima, I am in fact dying. I am dying. There's no doubt. And I've known since the previous Ramadan. Because every Ramadan, Jibreel would come to me. And he would review and recite the whole Quran with me once over. And this past Ramadan when Jibreel came to me, he went through the entirety of the Quran with me, not once but twice. And I recognized and I realized at that moment that the end is near. And so that was the first time I actually realized and believed that I was going to lose him. And so I started to cry. Then when he called me close again, he said to me, he said, "However, Fatima, you will be the first of the family who will come and join me in the afterlife." And that made me smile to know. He said that we will be once again together as a family. Because look at the pain of Fatima. She lost her mother when she was a little girl. Then she lost her three big sisters. She had two baby brothers who passed away in infancy. And now she's losing her father. So he told her, "Very soon you will come and be with us." And she passed away 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next morning, the Prophet ﷺ departs from this world. And this tragedy occurs and befalls all the believers and the Muslims of that time. The greatest tragedy ever witnessed by mankind. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is unable to deal and internalize the fact that the Prophet ﷺ is gone. He starts walking around, stomping around, saying, "No, the Prophet ﷺ has not passed away. I refuse to believe this." Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is catatonic. He's in shock. He's not speaking. He's not responding. People are waving their hands in front of his face and it's like he can't even see them. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu crawled into the fetal position and started to cry like a child cries. This great tragedy befell. Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was a giant man. He was tall and he had a loud booming voice. And he started pacing back and forth and back and forth in the masjid, yelling at the top of his lungs, "What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Somebody tell me what we're supposed to do." Such a tragedy. If we look at this from a very basic human perspective, this could have been the end of it all. This could have been the end of Islam, the end of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This would have been the end of it all. Everything would have ended at this moment. Everything was over. How do you recover from this? But at that particular time, there was a lesson. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reminded us of that lesson. Where he went and he stood up on the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, everyone, he told Bilal, "Call the adhan, that'll congregate the people." And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu calls the adhan, and people start gathering together and sitting down in the masjid, much like this. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the only one still walking around in circles. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "Mahlan ya Umar. Ala rislika ya Umar. Calm down, Umar. Have a seat. Sit down. Relax." And it's like Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu can't even hear him. He just keeps walking around in circles, stomping around. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "Leave him. It'll take him some time." And then he stands on the minbar and he starts reciting the book of Allah, the Quran. And he says, "Wama Muhammadun illa Rasul." Muhammad was only a messenger. "Qad khalat min qablihi rusul." Many messengers before him passed. "Afa immata aw qutila." If he dies, or even worse, is killed, "in qalabatum ala aqabikum," will you turn back on your heels? Will you abandon everything that he taught you? Will you give up everything that he gave you? "Waman yanqalib ala aqibayhi فَلَنْ يَضُرُ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا." Somebody who gives up this deen does not hurt God, does not harm God. He only harms himself. وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And Allah says, God shall reward those who are grateful and remember the blessings that they have. Remember the gifts that they have been given. And Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu says, when he started reciting that verse, I stopped. It's like the Quran penetrated through that just the insanity that I was experiencing, how overwhelmed I was in that moment. The Quran penetrated through that. And when I heard that verse, I felt like I was hearing it for the very first time in my life. And I sat down right where I was. And after reciting this verse, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa'innahu qad mat." If someone used to worship Muhammad, then that person should know and understand and realize that, and pardon the directness of it, we mean no disrespect, but he was delivering a message. Understand the purpose of the message. He said, whosoever used to worship Muhammad, then that person needs to know that Muhammad is dead. He has passed. He has left this world. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ رَبَّهُ. And whosoever used to worship the Lord of Muhammad, Allah, فَإِنَّهُ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Then Allah lives forever, is eternal, and He will never leave. He will never die. He will never depart. This is a very interesting reminder. I'll give you another story that also encapsulates and represents the passing of the Prophet ﷺ and what was to be done in that moment. Mu'adh bin Jabal, one of the most dedicated students of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the most knowledgeable of the companions. أَعْلَمُكُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ مُعَاذُ بْنُ جَبَلٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the most knowledgeable amongst you about halal versus haram is Mu'adh bin Jabal. Amazing companion. The Prophet ﷺ, about a year or maybe even 6 to 8 months before he passed away, the Prophet ﷺ sent him out. He sent him to the people of Yemen to go there and to preach to them and teach them and lead them and guide them. To go be their leader and their imam. Go. I have taught you for 10 years. I've given you everything that I could. I trust you now, I have confidence in you now. Go and lead those people. Teach them, lead them. And when it was time for him to depart, the Prophet ﷺ had a tradition. When he was sending someone off, he himself would accompany them to the outskirts of the city. The Prophet ﷺ was a very gracious person. So he's leading Mu'adh out of Medina, and he's walking with him, and they have the animal, and they're walking along. And when they reach the outskirts of the city, the Prophet ﷺ turns to him and he says, if people have an issue, if people have a problem, what will you do? How will you figure out the solution to their problem? He says, أَقْضِي بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ. I will look in the book of Allah, in the Quran, and try to figure out what I'm supposed to do. Then he says, well, what if you don't find it in the Quran, directly, explicitly addressed in the Quran? What are you going to do? He said, أَقْضِي بِسُنَّةِ نَبِيِّهِ. I will look in the sunnah of the Prophet of God sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and find the answer. He says, what if you don't find it explicitly there? فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدْ فِي سُنَّةِ النَّبِيِّ. So he says, أَجْتَهِدُ بِرَأْيِ وَلَا أَلُو. He says, then I will look at the Qur'an, I will look at the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, I will try to figure out the best solution based off of what I've learned from there, and I will work tirelessly. I will exhaust every effort that I have to find a solution to people's problems. I will do the best that I can. And then the Prophet ﷺ patted him on the chest and he said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi waffaqa rasoola rasoolillahi bima yurdi rasoolallahi. He says, I thank God, all praises for Allah, for giving the correct understanding to the messenger, the representative of the messenger of God, the understanding that brings pleasure and confidence and joy to the messenger of God. Like, I thank Allah for creating people and for giving me people that know what I want them to do. But then the Prophet ﷺ told him something. And he patted him on the chest when he said, Alhamdulillah, I patted him on the chest. Good job. Then he said, get up on the animal. And then the Prophet ﷺ held the reins of the animal and he started walking the animal out of Medina. And Mu'adh said, I felt very awkward. He said, Messenger of Allah. I said, no, no, Ya Rasul. He said, no, no, stay. And he led him out. And then the Prophet ﷺ over his shoulder told him, he said, by the way, Mu'adh, there's one more thing. لَعَلَّكَ لَا تَجِدُنِي لَعَلَّكَ لَا تَجِدُنِي بَعْدَ رُجُوعِكَ. He says, it's very possible that when you come back to Medina, you will not find me here anymore. And Mu'adh said, my heart broke into a million pieces. It shattered my heart. I cried like a baby cries. I could not imagine life in this world without him. But he told me at that moment, as much as I wanted to stay and I didn't want to go, he told me, you have a job to do. Now go do your job. And I wiped my tears away from my face, and I set out and I did my job. I did what he taught me to do. I did what he wanted me to do. If it hasn't become clear, the point that I'm trying to drive home today, we are sitting here just with 2 days, 3 days left of the month of Ramadan. And all of us undoubtedly have started the conversations, have begun the conversations. We've all seen the Facebook post. We've all, you know, said it to one another and seen the text messages and the WhatsApp forwards about the sadness and the remorse and the tragedy of the departure of the month of Ramadan. The hum and the huzn, the sadness and the grief at the departure of the month of Ramadan. And I'm here to say that that's not something that's inappropriate or wrong. When the Sahaba cried and when the Sahaba were heartbroken at the departure of the Prophet ﷺ, that was not wrong. That just showed that they loved him. We love seeing the best version of ourselves. We love fasting during the day. We love praying during the night. We love spending more time with the Quran. We love all the reward and all the forgiveness and all the mercy and all the blessing of this month. And so it's very natural and it is a sign of belief to be sad at its departure. However, we cannot reduce Ramadan simply to a few cliches and platitudes. We cannot just simply talk about how excited we are for Ramadan when it comes and how sad we are when it leaves, because that's what social decorum dictates. Ramadan cannot be relegated to just simply these cliches. But what we have to understand is that yes, Ramadan came and Ramadan is going. And as sad as that is, and yes, we should have done more, and we could have done more, and we will, inshallah, next time around, granted Allah gives us one more, we will do more. That being said, we have a job to do. Remember what we learned during this Ramadan. We learned, you and I, we learned that we have the ability to go 16, 17 hours in 100 degree weather, 95 degree weather. We have the ability to go 17 hours without food and water. We have it. If our mind and our heart is in the right place, we can do that. We learned that we can survive off of 3 to 4 hours of sleep every day. We learned that. We learned this Ramadan that we can read so much Quran. We can read a juz a day. We learned that we can stand in prayer 1 hour every night. We learned during this Ramadan that we can come to the masjid every single night for 30 nights. We learned during this Ramadan that we can stay up all night long in the last few nights of the month of Ramadan here. We learned that. We learned that we can give a lot more charity than we thought we could give. That we can make sacrifices. That we can cut corners. We learned that. So now take that energy, take that motivation, take that focus, take that commitment and make something of it. We need to do something with it. We can't just sit here and share a few messages about how sad we are and how sad all of this is. We need to really make an effort and channel that energy and do something with it. We got the whole world sitting out in front of us. We got so much work to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still there. The Quran will still be on our shelves the day after Eid. There will still be hungry people to feed. There will still be the house of Allah that needs to be prayed in. There's still so much work that needs to be done. And we can't stop just because Ramadan has ended. But we will continue. We need to continue. And we need to work harder than ever before. That's the commitment of the Sahaba. That's why they were the people that they were. They were the generation that they were. That's what made them special. That's what set them apart. And if we hope to ever be even a fraction of as amazing as they are, we gotta overcome this hurdle. And we gotta learn to take the moment and the opportunity and channel it into something amazing and make something amazing of this opportunity. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin. Fastaghfiruh innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Can the brothers, inshallah, move forward, scoot together, inshallah, there's people standing outside, please.